more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from Marbella in Spain. And of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Email me with your name, phone number, question, or problem to peter at petergreenberg.com, and we will try to solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones right now to Blacksburg, Virginia. I think that's the home of Virginia Tech. I got Tom on the phone. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
So you sent me a very interesting email about your experience on a cruise ship, and it brought back some fond memories for me as well. But explain, were you surprised about the Queen Mary II?
No, actually, and Queen Mary II isn't really a cruise ship. It's an ocean liner.
I know that.
And I grew up in New York City at the end of the ocean liner era, and I always wanted to make a transatlantic passage. So when the opportunity presented itself last May, my wife and I decided we would go to England via Queen Mary, spend some time over there, and then come back via Queen Mary.
So you flew over and cruised back, or you flew over, or you
no,
sailed
we
both
took
ways?
The ship both ways.
Oh wow, most people
took
don't.
The ship both ways.
Wow, most people don't do that. So, and you, what time of the year did you go?
We went in May.
And how would that was
this
the
year.
Was the ocean rough?
No, it was as calm as a mill pond.
Wow, you lucked out. Okay, so was it everything you wanted it to be?
Yes, indeed it was.
Well, let's.
It was good food, comfortable accommodations, excellent entertainment. You can't get bored in that ship. They have a library, they have lounges, they have activities all the time. It's a whole different experience from cruising.
So, Tom, I'm assuming you've been on cruise ships before?
Yes, I have.
So this is the one you wanted to take a liner. You wanted to do a crossing.
That's correct.
And now I'm jealous, and I'll tell you why. Because you got to experience in both directions something I never get a chance to do because of my schedule. You got to experience 5 days at sea. I mean, how relaxing
Actually,
could that be?
A week over and 6 days back.
All right, be that way. Now rub it in. But the point is, that's the beauty of a crossing. Not a cruise, but a crossing where you're literally using it for transportation, but at the same time, you're doing it in style. Now, I have to ask this question. Something tells me you were not eating in the Queen's Grill.
No, I wasn't. We went in Britannia class.
Oh, so, okay. So you know what? You did something that I recommend all the time. Because how much time do you spend in your cabin on a cruise ship or on a liner? Not much. You're there to shower and to sleep. You're not entertaining all of your friends in your cabin. So for me, the best thing you can do when you buy a cabin on a cruise ship or a liner is get the least expensive cabin, and then you have all the freedom to roam around and do everything you want.
That's exactly what we did. We got an inside cabin, Britannia class, on deck 4, right in the middle of the ship.
Now you're smart.
Virtually no motion.
See, now we're talking center of gravity. If anybody listens to this show and you're prone to seasickness, and a lot of people are, if you want to avoid or at least mitigate the pitching and the rolling, you get an inside middle cabin in the center of the ship, and that's the one part of the ship that's not going to move the most. It'll be moving the least.
Right. We hardly detected any motion at all.
And am I right? You were just sleeping in the cabin and showering. That's it.
That's right.
So, of course, you visited the library. Of course, you visited the promenade deck. The only thing you didn't do, because the QM2 is about the only remaining liner in the world that has a two-class system. And so you didn't get maybe you didn't have caviar for dinner. But other than that, you did just fine.
Yep.
All
and,
right.
They have a wonderful menu. Excellent service. And if you don't want to go to the dining room, they have room service.
Well, there you go. So listen, you did it right. You did it relatively inexpensively. What was your fare?
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't that much more than an airplane ticket. And we just looked at their upcoming sailings. And in January, you can do a crossing for about $680.
Well, listen, if you're going to do a crossing in January, you better have the inside middle cabin.
Yes, that's true.
Because that ship will roll, and that ship will pitch, because the North Atlantic is not forgiving in January. But then again, you know what? If you got the right cabin, you made the right deal. Tom, thanks again for the call.
My pleasure.
You got it. You know what? Smart man. He booked a crossing for about the same price as an airline ticket and got to spend 13 days, right? 7 going over, 6 coming back. Can't beat that. Gotta love that. You know, the bottom line is you book your trips strategically. You book your cabin strategically. You don't get seduced by the brochure photos that are shot with the widest angle lens known to man. And you're not going to be entertaining in your cabin, right? And then you got it made. And as long as you don't go overboard on the onboard revenue possibilities, which so many of the cruise lines do, you'll be just fine. And I said to him on the phone, I'll say it again now, I'm jealous. That's the way I want to do the crossing. In the inside middle cabin, I'm not kidding, and then enjoy the rest of the ship. I appreciate that. And when we come back to Marbella, we'll be talking some numbers that you need to know about where people are traveling, why they're traveling, and perhaps most importantly, how they're traveling. Back with more as Eye on Travel returns from Marbella in Spain, right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Need more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
And we're back. Peter Greenberg here with you as Eye on Travel continues from Marbella in Spain. And, of course, you know the drill. Email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones in Riverside. That's right outside of Chicago. I've got Carl on the phone. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing today, Peter?
I'm doing just great. How can I help you?
Yeah. Hey, Peter, I have a friend of mine, a senior citizen, and the daughters like to take her on trips here. She's a real hard worker. And the one daughter's staking her. They're leaving, 23rd to go to Chile, along with a couple of young kids. And any tips for them or concerns?
Well, first of all, I happen to think that Chile, that little string bean of a country in South America, has got more stuff going for it than you can imagine. I have no idea how long they're going to be spending there, but let's take a look. It's got one of the cutest little island, it's actually not an island, it's a coastal village called La Serena. If you go up north, the Atacama Desert's one of the driest deserts in the world. It's a moonscape up there, but phenomenal, and it's not difficult to navigate. And then, of course, if you go down south, first of all, you can start in Santiago, because that's where they're going to fly into. You get the Lake District all around Santiago, beautiful location. Then we go further south on the west coast of Chile, and you've got Puerto Montt, which is the gateway to the Andes and Patagonia. So it really gets down to, Carl, how much time you got to spend, how physically active they want to be, and how much they just want to relax.
I think they're going to be there, Peter, for a couple, 2-3 weeks.
Ooh, I'm jealous. I wish I could be there for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, then what they should do is start up north in the Atacama for 2 nights, then use Santiago as your hub, come on back down to Santiago, and you can drive out to the Lake District there. It's just beautiful. And then from Santiago, that's when you head south, and you go to a place called Puerto Montt, and that's your gateway to both the Andes and Patagonia. But we're not talking about climbing the mountains here, Carl. We're talking about seeing the mountains, and also, and depending on the time of the year, which means you're going down there during the summer, it's perfect because you're going to be out in the fjords, and they are so beautiful. And then it just gets down to how far south you still want to go, all the way down to the gateway to, you know what, Antarctica. So it's got everything you want, and they can actually book all that stuff using a hotel concierge in Santiago, or any travel agent in Chicago can do it for them. Those are your three places to stop. Obviously, the Atacama Desert in the north. You've got, of course, Santiago, where you're going to be flying into, and that's your hub. And then go down to Puerto Montt, and you will not be disappointed. Okay?
Peter, is there, if I may ask, is there any archipelago in that area?
You'd have to go very far south to get there, down to Puerto Williams, because when you're going that far south, you're bordering the tip of Argentina as well, and you're now at the threshold of places like the Falkland Islands. But my guess is, on this first trip to Chile, they're not going to go that far south.
Yeah, they're pretty well seasoned. They've been to Portugal, China before in the past, Canary Islands, so. They're pretty good at what they do, from what I understand.
Well, so. I hope you understand correctly, because they're in for a treat. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you Chile is one of my favorite places. So have a great time. You're not going, but they're going, and they will have a great time.
Well, guess who has to babysit a couple animals in the meantime?
Something tells you you're going to do just fine, Carl.
Excelente.
There's the Spanish. Carl, thanks again. We appreciate the call.
You got it.
All right, man. Thanks. And speaking of Marbella, where we are now, of course, it's one of the headquarters of the Jet Setters, but I want to bring up another idea for you. It's called the Set Jetters. That's right. What happened in 2024? How many people flew to locations because they wanted to be where their favorite television shows were shot? That could be White Lotus in Thailand, Emily in Paris in Paris. And interestingly enough, thank you, Taylor Swift, to music concerts around the world, 27%, this is a whopping figure, 27% of the people who attended concerts flew there. And why? Especially in the Taylor Swift situation, we're talking about going overseas. Why? Because the cost of the airline ticket, the cost of the hotel, and the cost of the concert ticket overseas, in many cases, was less expensive than the cost of the actual ticket itself in the U.S. How about that? And for Emily in Paris, the actual soft power economically that it brought to France can't be understated. Actually, it can't be overstated. Here are the deals. I mean, French brands that were worn by the actors in the show, sales through the roof. Hotel rates, through the roof. And 4% of France's tourist business is directly resulting from that show. Same thing in Thailand for White Lotus. Crazy, right? Well, now there's a rumor, you'll love this rumor, that there may be Emily in Rome. Now, French President Macron is not happy with that. He was, Emily in Paris and Rome? Doesn't make sense. However, Rome's mayor has another take on this, and he says, you can't control the heart. Let's let her choose, followed by, doesn't President Macron have more pressing matters to worry about? And there you go, the 2024 concert and TV impact of travel. Back with more from leading hotels of the world in Marbella, where we're jet-setting a little bit, right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel. We'll be right back.